Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dom. 1 year to the election edition.
Oh, man, it's coming quick, Crudy.
Welcome to the Solidarity Realty Studios, the 92.7 FM WMDX Studios. And, Dom, we welcome a fine guest right from the top. She is Angela Lang. She is from Black Leaders Organizing Community, sometimes called BLOC. And her organization was featured in the reporting of John King at the CNN very recently. We covered your organization a little bit, Angela, but welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Angela.
Well, 15 years ago today, Barack Obama was elected president. And what was the turnout like in Milwaukee, in the community you live in? What was it like getting the voters out for Obama? Do you recall?
Yeah, it was huge. It was also the first election I voted in. And so I took a lot of pride, and I remember being late to the game, but I saw everybody else knocking doors and engaging. And so when I later learned what GOTV was, that's when I actually went. And I was like, all right, give me a walk pack. Let me go to my own neighbors in my neighborhood that I'm familiar with. There was a buzz. There was an excitement. There was enthusiasm. And a little thing called hope, right? Not to sound cliche, but like we were a little hopeful. We didn't live in these really dark and treacherous times that we're living now, and it was just a completely different world, strangely enough, to think about.
Angela, it was 7 years ago today that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton, and something had changed in Milwaukee, and the turnout certainly wasn't as good as it had been for Obama. When did your organization, Black Leaders Organizing Communities, when did that kick in?
Yeah, so in 2016, I worked for a completely different organization, and I remember Election Day vividly, and folks were getting reports that, you know, turnout may not be what we want it to be and what we hope. And people were like, oh, so let's plan for, like, the election watch parties. Are you going to go to this party or that party? And I was like, I'm going to go home. I think a lot of us, you know, mid-afternoon had some serious concerns about the turnout. And, you know, obviously we know what happened that day. And I remember having lots of conversations, and everyone had their hot takes and analysis. And there were some folks, specifically white Democrats and white progressives, that shook their finger at me and said, if you people would have just voted. And I was like, well, that's not the right analysis. And later on, there was a national article featuring some folks, some Black men in a barbershop, saying why they didn't vote in Milwaukee and how they weren't engaged. And so here we have a community that's disenfranchised and not as engaged. And here we were to be blamed for this. So that really was the spark that said, you know what, let's not wait for candidates or elected officials. We have to do this work ourselves, because that day may never come, as, you know, some people never got that door knock or that phone call. So we launched almost actually 6 years at the end of the month. We'll turn six. So in November of 2017, we were up and running to hopefully make sure that what happened in 2016 didn't happen again.
Okay. And there's been some successes along the way. Obviously, we saw Scott Walker lose to Tony Evers. We saw Joe Biden carry the state of Wisconsin, beat back Trump 3 years ago today. And how instrumental do you think BLOC's activities were? And what were you seeing on the ground when you were knocking on the doors for Biden in 2020? What was the tenor? What was the tone?
I think there was just a lot of worry and uncertainty just given the world. That was the year of the pandemic and that we're continuing to be in, and understanding that we were able to hold the line under tremendous circumstances. You know, we understand what the effects of having to vote in person in April of 2020 did to folks. It scared folks. People are like, Angela, there are going to be more than 5 polling places open. What does this look like? How do I get an absentee ballot? And so I think people were fired up for wanting to vote, but I think people were hesitant of seeing how the pandemic was being weaponized by Republican leaders as another form of voter suppression. But people were determined, right? We saw those lines. We saw those viral images where people were determined to vote only weeks after the pandemic started. And I think that really carried through the rest of the year as well.
Angela, 1 year out from a presidential election, could be Trump, Biden again. Your organization and a lot of the activists you work with, your colleagues, were interviewed by John King. What do you think the tone is right now, 1 year from the election, when you knock doors in Milwaukee on the north side? What has been the response in the real current tense?
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things. One, there are some folks that are like, it's way too early for me to pay attention. Government's dysfunctional. I don't want to be bothered with it. Also, too, in Wisconsin, we have voter fatigue, right? So, you know, we have 4 elections next year. I think people are going to get burnt out real fast with it. So I think people are taking their time to engage. I also think on the flip side, folks are just trying to survive. They're going to the grocery store and groceries are expensive. Formula, Pampers, all of these different things are expensive. People are figuring out how to keep their lights on and how to they're going to get to work when gas is expensive. And so I think people are focused on surviving day to day. And then when you approach them with things like politics, sometimes people don't want to hear it because they don't see their material conditions change. We're telling them that to vote and how, you know, if you just vote, your life will get better. And then you're not seeing that and you're still struggling day to day. It can make folks real put off to the electoral system as a whole. As we see, you know, a potential government shutdown in the next few days, we see this dysfunction federally, locally. I think some people may have some challenges as well, too. And so I think there's a lot of frustration. But I will say, because we've all seen the polls and we've all seen the recent news, is that I'm glad we're having this conversation a year out. We have a year to course correct, I think, is an opportunity. And I think it's really an opportunity for folks to listen to what the voters actually want and actually have the voters be heard. So while it seems a little doom and gloom and that CNN clip was a little bit of a reality check, I do think it's a part of an opportunity that we have. And I'm glad that we're having these conversations. Normally, my phone doesn't blow up until, you know, maybe next spring or summer. And I'm like, okay, everyone wants to talk to the Black girl that works in a swing state in politics. And I'm glad it's now, though.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Angela Lang. She's the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. You can find them on Twitter at Block by Block MKE. That's BLOC, Block by Block MKE. Angela, always a pleasure to talk to you. And I get the voter fatigue, and I get that, you know, a lot of folks, and sometimes I'm one of them. Well, you know, we vote, and, you know, what happens? Nothing great happens. We're still waiting for the great things to happen, still waiting for a little bit of, maybe a little more hope, Angela. But it could always get worse. You know, that's the other thing, too. And we see, you know, what we have coming down if Donald Trump is actually the top of the ticket. I think it would get a lot worse for a lot of people. But what does success look like? I mean, if people are tired of the whole political game and we have 4 elections next year, I mean, self-governance, it never ends. You know, that's the thing. It never, ever ends. And as soon as we step, you know, take our foot off the gas, you know, someone else, the Republicans, they're going to try to step in and do their thing. It's a constant thing. So how do we keep people motivated, and what does success look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think how we keep people motivated is having these broader discussions about what's on the ballot. And it almost sounds cliche at this point, but like democracy is on the ballot, right? And I think some folks are coming out and are voting because they see it as harm reduction. They're like, you know what? I don't like either candidate. But as I mentioned, you know, some people would rather negotiate their issues and their agenda with a President Biden than a President Trump. And I think people are also making decisions in that way for the sake of this country and for our democracy. And so I think there's there's time to keep people energized. I think there's like some civics conversations that need to be had of, you know, why Biden isn't able to do some of these things. It's caught up in Congress, and look at how Congress is right now. But sometimes getting into the weeds is actually a good thing. And so I think being able to educate folks is a win. I think the president being able to speak on issues, even issues that he can't move because Congress is dysfunctional right now, still talking about the issue, still showing up and listening. You know, that's the thing about president. When you're running and you're campaigning, you're having rallies, you're talking to your supporters. But what does it look like for the president to, you know, go in 53206 and do a silent canvass with us and just listen and talk to average folks that may or may not be on your side, but just to hear what's on the ground? And so I think wins are being able to show up, be present, and to be able to listen too.
And showing up was a big part of that article on CNN, Angela. Is it the president? Is it the vice president? Is it the surrogates? And what kind of investment do you think needs to be had by those who want the votes of the Black community in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of it all. I was telling folks earlier, too, is that, you know, I know that the president stepped foot in Wisconsin and was one of the first trips that he made. The vice president has been to Milwaukee several times. I've stood in those photo lines and was able to sneak in a quick conversation with her about lead and the intersection between lead in our water and criminal justice. Right. And those are all great conversations. But it's for politicals like me, right? What does it look like for Biden, obviously with all the Secret Service, to just like walk into a barbershop, to go to a mom and pop diner, to just sit and just have conversations with folks? I think that's what that means to show up. And I think a level of investment is, yeah, having the candidates, having the president, vice president, having surrogates, right? We love to infuse like arts and culture and, you know, people like Kerry Washington from Scandal, like people love that type of stuff. We want to make stuff fun. Bradley Whitford is a cheerleader for Wisconsin. If you see all the stuff that he's doing, and some of that definitely attracts folks. It's a different way to make politics fun as well, too. But it's a combination of all of it.
Angela Lange, Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler's coming on this show in just a bit. What message might you have for the Dems here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, keep showing up. I think that's the thing, is keep engaging, being authentic. And I think Ben's doing a great job. And I'm lucky that as a grassroots organization, we have a strong relationship. I had a check-in call with him earlier today. And so being able to show up, invest, and don't take the Black community for granted.
Angela, real quick, if people want to support your organization, how can they do so?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok at Block by Block MKE. And you can find us online at our website at blockbyblock.org.
Angela Lange, thank you for answering our call today. Happy Election Day 1 year from today. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, guys.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. It's super cool. You can take the Devils everywhere you go. You can listen to podcasts, interviews. Hell, you can click a button, text, and call the show. Again, the Civic Media app. Find it in your app store.
When the announcer says greatest radio show ever, he means it.
It's true.
Angela Lange, thank you very much, from Black Leaders Organizing Communities. We'll make sure we have her come around quite a bit between now and Election Day, 1 year from today. And now we got some other good friends once in the hizzy already. Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications. He's a fine Dem strategist, friend of ours, soon to come in studio. Also, as mentioned, Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. Got compliments from Angela Lange. Did a little check-in with her earlier today. Doing a check-in with you and the Devils Advocates about 5 o'clock today. And our pal Darcy Haber from Solidarity Realty. We are in the namesake Solidarity Realty Studios, 92.7 FM WMDX Studios. Right now, Dom, really big show. And tomorrow.
Wait, there's more.
Congresswoman Gwen Moore, your congresswoman, our friend, saw her recently in D.C. And new Marquette University Law School polling. That means Charles Franklin joining us in the happier happy hour about 5:30 Central Time. This is going to be a big week. greatest radio show ever. That's what the band says.
It's going to be a big week, a big year, 1 year till Election Day. It's going to fly by, man.
Not for Robin Voss. Did you see the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly was getting hammered on the Truthy Social today by Donald Trump? Why is he not impeached? The Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator right. Megan Wolf already, Dom.
Doesn't Donald Trump have other things to worry about? Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting.
Apparently he does not.
Trump pressures Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to impeach Elections Chief Megan Wolf. A little bit in this piece, Donald Trump is again putting pressure on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to overhaul Wisconsin's system of elections, this time by elevating calls to impeach the nonpartisan leader of the state's election agency, whom Trump continues to cast as a villain. In his false, I'll say that again, narrative about the battleground state's 2020 election. Former president and frontrunner in the 2024 GOP presidential primary race on Monday shared with his 6.5 million social media followers on the Truthy Socials.
He's got 6.5 million now?
Well, how many are bots? A press release from Republican Rep. Janelle Brandjian criticizing Voss for not moving to impeach Wisconsin Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. But Voss on Tuesday suggested the assembly would not take up the effort. A quote from Voss. I think we need to move forward and talk about the issues that matter the most to Wisconsinites, and that is not, for most Wisconsinites, obsessing about Megan Wolf, Voss told reporters. Wolf has served as a target for nearly 3 years to those in the Republican Party base who believe widespread election misconduct delivered an election loss to Trump in 2020 despite court rulings, nonpartisan audits, and recounts paid for by Trump showing President Biden was elected fairly.
Wait. Again, the confusing reporting. Voss says one thing.
Yes.
Oh, you know, we don't impeach people around here. But last that we checked, he was moving. He was moving the impeachment articles forward to committee. So is he or ain't he moving forward with the impeachment of Megan Wolf? And satisfying Veruca Salt, Janelle Brandjian, the conspiracy theorist of Assembly. And didn't he once upon a time embolden, empower this Janelle Brandjian?
Oh, he sure did.
Marjorie Taylor Greene of Wisconsin. I'm waiting for her to run for Congress, Dom. But empowered her, made her the gavel-welding chief of the Assembly.
Elections Committee.
Yeah. And she's the one that brought guys like Dan O'Donnell and Gableman.
It was also Voss who enabled and enlisted the help of former Justice Gableman for their, you know, review of the election that cost millions of dollars and still is in court and showed absolutely nothing. Gableman basically sat on his ass for a while and got paid. Yeah, that same Robin Voss, guy.
Gableman did try to throw a couple of mayors in jail for not honoring the of questionable veracity subpoenas from Janelle Brandjian's committee. Is there more from the former president?
Just a bit. Of course, Brandjian and four other Republican members of the Assembly put forward 15 articles of impeachment against Wolf in September. Many of the articles contain accusations that have been debunked or are based on decisions made by the bipartisan panel of commissions who oversee Wolf. Again, she has to exercise the wishes of the board. That's what she does as the ED. She doesn't make those decisions. She implements them. Trump's post on his social media platform, Truthy Social, was made ahead of Tuesday's assembly floor session and during a six-figure ad campaign in the Milwaukee media market threatening to unseat Voss unless he moves to impeach Wolf. And we know the rest of that story. Molly Beck, you can find that at the Journal Sentinel.
How will Robin Voss react to the ongoing pressure from the presumptive nominee and perhaps future president of the United States?
Well, since he's saying we need to move forward and talk about the issues that matter most, I think he will acquiesce to Trump's wishes.
Matter most to Janelle Brandjian.
Yes, and
Sheriff David A. Clark Jr.
It's pitchforks and torches time in America.
Your girl, Vicky McKenna. You know, she is very upset because there are some Republicans of conscience pushing back. Like, I don't see enough cause for impeachment yet. Well, that's enough to get your ass hammered on Righty Whitey Talk Radio this afternoon. Vicky's going after him with the club, Dom.
Here's
how
one.
Dare they not see the sensibility of impeaching a bureaucrat who is just acting on the directive of six impaneled partisans.
In an interview Monday with conservative talk radio host Crudy's buddy Big Joe Giganti of Green Bay, Gabelman suggested to listeners
regular that Joe
floor session would be the last chance to impeach Wolf. There are no time limits on such resolutions, however. Quote, if Speaker Voss or anyone else voluntarily or unnecessarily gives up that power of impeachment, they are shutting the people out of their ability to get rid of people like Megan Wolf. If they don't impeach her tomorrow, that is, if 50 members of the Assembly don't vote on it and send it over to the Senate so the Senate can't consider it, we are going to have Megan Wolf for the foreseeable future.
You know, they're going to be on the floor this week, Dom.
I think today is what he's talking about.
There could be a little action going on.
Voss Tuesday said he did not expect the resolution to come up and that the GOP caucus was not unified on the move to impeach.
You don't need them all. You just need 50 plus one, right, Voss?
We just had a brief discussion about it today, and I think that we are nowhere near consensus. But I can't predict what's going to happen in the future. I think it is unlikely that it's going to come up anytime soon.
You're not burying this one so readily. I mean, I'm sure you got some lime and a shovel in the trunk, Voss.
It's not the first time, man.
But you ain't going to be able to bury these skeletons, these bodies, right? You cannot put the MAGA base behind you. You can't walk that tightrope.
You can't sleep with dogs and not get fleas. I mean, how many? There's all sorts of sayings we come up. But once you engage the MAGA, you are forever tainted. You are forever cursed. Because as soon as you do not continue to do their bidding, they turn on you, man. What, don't you get that? Have you ever seen, have you followed Trump's career? That's how it works.
We have been following Trump's career all the way since the Iowa Freedom Summit in Des Moines, Iowa, 2015.
Since Home Alone?
I've known our next fine guest since Election Day and before 2014. What's that? 9 years plus, 9.5 years. And he will bring us all the insights 1 year from the Election Day. Joe Zepecki, friend of the Devil's Advocates, in studio guest next. He's excellent. Ish.
Can't even do it.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Tuesday, 1 year from an election. We got another fine guest. He's joined us here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the 92.7 FM WMDX Studios. He's dim strategist, Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications. Vegas Joe, how you doing, Joe?
Formerly a friend of the devil.
Now you got the music.
You guys have been here since June, and you haven't invited me until today?
Well,
what's going on?
Well, if you weren't cheating on us with all those other media outlets, Joe, you probably would have been come around a little
sooner. Is that
sooner.
Why my picture is not hanging on the wall? Because I've been in Devil Studios where my mug was hanging on the wall, but not here.
Yeah, we upgraded.
Bigger and better for my friends Dom and Crude. Good to see you,
Joe,
guys.
That good to see you, Joe. Just over 9 years ago, like 9 years ago last week, like a week before the election, Halloween time frame, you were representing Mary Burke. We knew it was a tough race. Scotty Wanker was still the governor, and we were right there that night. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
Nine years
across
ago today.
The Overture.
And we actually met the guys from Five Nines down at the Paul's Club, where we're going later for cocktails, perhaps. Joe, welcome back. Welcome to the inaugural Joe's in the Studio here in Madison. It's the new world headquarters, man.
I love it. It looks great. It's exciting. How far you've come.
The
it
world
is worth noting.
The world is right here outside our window.
Amazing.
And people often cross against the green, and it's distracting because they get schmucked by the cars. Say,
how many times have you
Crudy
seen somebody get picked off?
Easily distracted. He needs to be in a
Every
room with
time
no windows.
Somebody gets hit by a car, Dom gets mad that I'm a little distracted.
Well, that's not the first time it's been suggested that Mike should be held in a room with no windows.
Padded walls, perhaps, a straitjacket.
Gentlemen, let's turn to the politics 1 year from today, an election day.
That's not really 1 year from today. I got to quibble with you.
One year from yesterday.
You know I'm here to
363, Joe.
It's a 366-year day. Every presidential election year is a leap year. So I think it was actually November 5th of 2024. Do I have that right?
Joe, are you going to quibble with me?
And always. That's what I do, man. I play devil's advocate, and then they don't invite me on the devil's advocate anymore. Go figure.
Now you know why your picture got taken down.
Make that make sense.
First Tuesday in November 2024 is, in fact, November 5th.
Which was Sunday. And there was a great event in Milwaukee. I heard you talking to Angela. Hello, Angela, if she's still listening. Love our friends at Block.
Yeah, for sure.
So 1 year out, some pro-democracy, pro-civil rights groups getting together to sort of talk about how important it is that in the year to come, we make sure no voter is disenfranchised, no vote is suppressed, no voter is intimidated. And it was a nice little program.
But that's the entire Republican game plan for next year, Joe. I mean, seriously, if you listen to the Bob Spindels of the world, Bob Spindel came out in 2022 bragging about the effect of their voter suppression efforts on Black and Latino voters, perhaps as many as 38,000, Bob claimed.
Insurrectionist and member of the Wisconsin Election Commission, Bob Spindel.
Well, he's also a GOP elections, CD chairman.
Yeah. Listen, they're going to try. We know that. We know that they feel like their strategy, their path to victory is for fewer people to vote. I would argue that this has been one of the worst strategic decisions that the Republican Party has made in the last 10 years. You know, I'm old enough to remember after the 2012 election when the Obama campaign, Obama-Biden was reelected. Mm-hmm. I was on that campaign. And in the aftermath, they did the whole autopsy. How do they become a kindler, gentler party and learn from their mistakes and two blowout national victories? And they, instead of going down the recommended findings of that autopsy, went down the Donald Trump path. And as a result, for the last 10 plus years.
It was get binders of women. That was what they.
They did have binders full of women.
Yes. That was Romney at first, right?
Yes.
Is that Romney?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes. Please continue. But they went the Trump MAGA route.
They did. And they're still trying to make it harder for people to vote. And in a twisted logic, that actually makes it more likely that people who are at risk of being disenfranchised come out and vote. Right. It seems more valuable when someone is trying to take something away from you. It's like, you know, you tell your kids, stay out of the candy jar. What are they going to do? They're going to go for the candy jar as soon as you leave the room. And, you know, this is human nature. And it's appalling that this is where we are, that among the fronts we have to fight on to protect our democracy, access to the ballot box is still one of them. But here we are in 2023 and 2024. We were talking off air. Today is election day in Mississippi. Wouldn't you know it? The largest county, 87% African-American, they've run out of ballots hours before polls close. This does not happen by accident. This is a systematic attempt to disenfranchise people, and it's got to stop. And the way to make it stop is to take it as the insult it is and motivate people and fire them up to engage Black, white, brown, male, female, LGBTQ+, you name it. Like, we need everybody engaged for the next year.
Joe Sopecki, the former president, trying to pressure Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, to impeach our Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator as recently as today.
I'm surprised he could fit that in between court appearances.
I know, he's so busy, very efficient that, you know, he's doing lots of things.
I don't think Robin Voss is going to be able to move on with the people's business, if you will. I don't think they're going to let this drop, Joe.
I don't think they are either. And it's one of the challenges that the Republican Party faces in the era of Trump, right? Which is they can't even focus on the 2024 election. They're still relitigating the last one.
2020. Biden won. Look it up.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because Steve Scalise on George Stephanopoulos was asked like six times.
Nine times.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't give a straight answer.
Wouldn't. Could. Won't.
We've got an election denier who's the Speaker of the House, and Republicans in good standing in our book, right? People who did vote to certify on January 6th said, we never will want our conference led by someone who opposed the free and fair, safe and secure election of 2020. And then after enough rounds and enough people getting knocked out, even Ken Buck went along and voted for MAGA Mike Johnson. And then 3 days later announces he's retiring.
He's out.
Because he's sick of all the election denialism. It's like, buddy, who did you just vote for?
Yeah.
So, listen, the Republican Party is a mess 1 year out.
They're in disarray, Joe.
Republicans in ruin, I feel like, is a little more alliterative.
Then how is it that Donald Trump, who's 91 times indicted, sitting through terrible court appearances earlier this week, when we look at New York Times, Siena swing state polling, of the key states, because it's not really a popular vote. It's more about the Electoral College, right? It really comes down to a handful of states. Wisconsin, the only one where Joe Biden's even up currently. Four others, I believe, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Nevada. Biden's trailing Trump in all of those states. And I certainly think that Trump's got a bad future life ahead of him. But in the meantime, he's the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, Joe. Yeah. And right now, at least in this polling snap shot, he's leading the incumbent.
The greatest thing that ever happened to Donald Trump's political prospects was he stopped being president. He sort of, I understand that for those of us who are fully engaged, for your listeners, the greatest audience in the world, listening to the greatest radio show of all time in the world.
You preach it, brother.
We are engaged in this stuff at a level that 95% of the public is not.
Right.
They don't see Donald Trump every single day. When they see him and realize how much more unhinged he is than he even was and are reminded of the crazy things that he did in the past and the crazier stuff that he is planning for the future, those numbers are going to look a lot different. It's an old Joe Biden saying, if he's said it once, he said it a million times. Don't compare him to the almighty. Compare him to the alternative.
Joe, white working class voters, rural voters here in the state of Wisconsin, they were seemingly awakened during the Scott Walker recall, even before there was a Trump. Low propensity outstate voters voted in the Scott Walker recall. They voted for Trump at least once. Some voted for him twice. The question I have, Joe, is will they vote for him again? And if the Democratic Party, to some's perception, are bleeding working class voters, how do they change that? How do they become more appealing? Because Republicans, simply by claiming them, somehow are convincing them that, oh, working class Republicans, that's what we are.
Well, it's not just white working class voters.
It's working class.
It's black and brown, too, this poll would suggest. And from my standpoint, you got to tell the story. Joe Biden was dealt a tough hand. Okay. Remember, when Joe Biden was sworn in, we still did not have vaccines widely available, right? It was January and February of 2021 when the vaccine became widely available.
It's kind of a blur, Joe.
And we really were able to, in the months ahead, get going again as a society, as a culture, as an economy. And so when you look at where he started and where we are now, there is a story to tell, not just about the American comeback and the fact that our economy is faring better than other developed economies in Europe, for example, where inflation is much higher, where unemployment is much higher. When you look at what this president has accomplished, bipartisan wins on things like infrastructure, which was a punchline during the Trump administration.
Infrastructure week.
And now it's actually happening. The Inflation Reduction Act, the largest investment in climate in American history, and that will actually lower health care costs. Bipartisan legislation on gun safety, very common sense stuff around red flag laws. This president got way more accomplished in his first term than anyone thought possible. And again, your listeners know that. We know that. But our friends and neighbors and people who maybe spend 5 minutes a week thinking about politics, who are going to determine the winner of the next election, they are there for the getting. When they hear about the progress we've made, I think this will shake out the way we need it to.
Joe Zepecki from Zepecki Communications. He's a Dem strategist. He's a friend of ours. Sticking around, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Angela Lang, Black Leaders Organizing Community. Some of the folks in the CNN article with John King that they interviewed, they're out actually knocking the doors, want to see people around, want to see Joe Biden, want to see Kamala Harris, want to see some surrogates and get something for their vote. I guess, to me, it's like we're just starting right now. We're 1 year out. Now is the time for that to happen. But, I mean, the vice president's been here a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Joe came to Wisconsin. I mean, what do you think it really takes when someone says they want to see the candidate? What does that mean to you if you're advising a candidate?
Well, in the 21st century, in this crazy information environment in which we live, you have to try to flood the zone. You can't just have the president go out and give remarks in the Rose Garden or the East Wing. You've got to use all channels all the time, right? So I want to see a more aggressive outreach on TikTok and Instagram and Threads and you name it, right? You got to
talk radio
and talk radio. You got to meet people where they are. And let's face it, this president has a full plate right now. He is trying to prevent World War III from emerging out of the Middle East. He's trying to, you know, stand with Ukraine to prevent Russia from just redrawing borders in a land grab. You've got, you know, these authoritarian rulers around the world thinking, is this the moment? And Biden is doing an exemplary job of trying to keep that powder keg from igniting. And listen, when you're going between national security meetings, it's tough to find time for all of that campaigning.
Yeah.
But as the calendar turns and this thing starts revving up, and we're going to see a lot more of President Biden. We're going to see him not just behind the podium, but doing what he does best, interacting with folks, stopping for ice cream, you know, doing the Uncle Joe show.
Well, and, you know, he's the man of the people, man. I mean, he's very empathetic to the crowd, man. Anything you talk about, any sort of tragedy or when he talks from the heart, I mean, those, I think, are the times that Joe Biden really, really, really super connects. But I'm not sure that, you know, the headwinds that we're facing on a geopolitical standpoint are going to subside anytime soon, Joe. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, we have election cycle. We're always in election cycle, obviously getting closer. But in some ways, I think it's going to get more heated. I mean, how's Joe going to handle that?
Well, I think that's the flip side of the age question. And we can't ignore the fact that a lot of Americans think Joe Biden is too old to be president.
David Axelrod, apparently one of them.
The flip side of that, he said he was not calling for the
president's step aside. He's backtracking.
He's walking it back. But let's be serious. In challenging, serious, and scary times, right, there is an argument to be made for experience, right? What was the old Ronald Reagan line that he wouldn't, you know, stoop to the level of using his opponent's youth and inexperience against him, right, against Mondale? You know, now Biden's gonna be running against Trump, who's also the same age as Joe Biden. But between old and able, like Joe Biden is, and old and crazy, like Donald Trump is, old and a joke with the rest of the world laughing at him like Donald Trump is.
Old and a joke.
Amen.
Folks, he's Joe Specky. No longer pictured on the wall here. But that's because it wouldn't resemble you. You were so much skinnier there.
Oh, yeah.
Skinnier, less gray hair.
At least you still got
it's
hair,
been a
Joe.
Rough 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Come back with us. It'll be a rough segment. If I can help it. More Devil's Advocates with our friend, I swear, Joe Zepecki. Just might get some sleep
tonight. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Joe Zepecki, Zepecki Communications. He's a Dem strategist and a friend of ours. Sticking around for one more segment, Joe. Always a pleasure to see you. I want to get your sense. Yesterday, Donald Trump on the stand. First time a president been on the stand for, what, civil fraud?
Former president.
He was a president.
And I'll bet he was sober and serious and respected the rules and authority of the court.
If you don't Scowling. Have if you don't have respect for yourself, you're not going to have respect for anything else. I mean, this goes it went, to my understanding, about exactly as I would expect. But what I wonder is there going to be any blowback for Donald Trump with independents, with, you know, moderate Republicans? I haven't seen it yet. Do you think that's going to manifest itself after this case and perhaps with these other four criminal cases he's got?
I do, because he can't help himself. Like, if I was advising Donald Trump, here's the free advice, because I know he can't take it. And I would bet that the smart people around him are telling him, you can't make it about you. Donald Trump wins this election if it's just about Joe Biden. But Trump can't help himself. He has to make it about him. And when I say he's even more unhinged, he doesn't even have the discipline on the stand for 4 hours to not be a lunatic, to not be a stark, raving, mad joke of a human being who is like performing for cameras when there are no cameras in the courtroom. And the judge has to say to his lawyer, can you please get your client under control? This is not a political rally. Like, it's that type of stuff. Where once the American people see this stuff and he's in their living rooms every day over and over again because it's a campaign, they're going to remember why they tired of his antics, how sick of him they grew because he didn't have the discipline to be the president they wanted him to be. And for those of you who have voted for Trump, like, I get it. you're frustrated with the way things have gone, and you thought maybe electing the walking, talking middle finger to the establishment is the way to really shake things up. I totally can understand that and can get there if that's your worldview. But what those voters saw and what they will see once he's in their faces again every day is he doesn't have the ability to do it because it's not about them. It's all about him. And so I can't wait for, you know, more press conferences outside of courtrooms, trials where the cameras are in the court, because we don't get to see him every day doing this.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Believe me, that's coming.
Yeah.
And when the American people see that, they're going to want to turn the channel. They're going to, you know, realize why people laugh at him and aren't laughing with him. And they're going to see Joe Biden in a better light because he's at least doing the job of president in a way that Donald Trump never did.
Tammy Baldwin does not even have a legitimate Republican opponent.
Tammy Baldwin v. a candidate to be named later.
I feel quite confident she will beat generic Republican. Do you think there will be a viable Republican? Are we expecting Hode V? I saw signs out by the highway a couple months ago. Looked like they were professionally produced, so I assumed that's a campaign in waiting.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still California dreaming, collecting his Orange County, California Man of the Year awards.
Laguna Beach.
Yeah, Laguna Beach,
really,
California.
Really involved in
resident.
The community out there. I mean, yeah, that's something to talk about,
and
right?
Good for him.
Yeah.
And listen, you know, Connecticut millionaire from the Eastern time zone, Tim Michaels, didn't do too well against Tony Evers.
You know,
I don't think California millionaire, multimillionaire Eric Hovde is going to do very well against Tammy Baldwin. But that's not, that almost has nothing to do with Eric Hovde. Tammy Baldwin is an awesome United States senator who like nose to the grindstone, gets the work done, whether it is Make It in America manufacturing provisions of the American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure bill and the Inflation Reduction Act,
yeah,
whether it is historic civil rights legislation that she does not get enough credit for, in my view. The way that she very strategically, very smartly, like took that on and stayed committed to it, couldn't get it done before the election, got it done afterwards. That is landmark historic civil rights legislation to finally recognize the love of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. Like, she is a damn fine United States senator who does a really great job representing the interests of Wisconsinites. I don't care if it's Eric Hovde or Scott Mayer or David Clark or another candidate to be named later. She is going to be a very, very tough out for Republicans.
Tammy Baldwin defeated Dom's girl, Leah Vukmir, 5 years ago today. And that they are six-year cycles. That means she's on the ballot next year. Joe, I'm also very interested about the Democrats' ability to recruit good candidates, especially in the first, especially in the third, but really all across the state. There were a couple of districts against Gallagher, against Grothman. We didn't even run a Dem on the last ballot. I think we're going to see more candidates, but Joe, anyone catch your eye so far? Any one or districts that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, you named the third and the first especially. We have a number of strong candidates in the third district. The most recent entrant, Katrina Shankland, a longtime champion of workers in the state legislature, who has really kind of come out and I think kind of shaken up that Democratic primary race. So I would watch her in that likely contest against Van Orden. In the first, as far as I know, we do not have an announced candidate yet. I have heard some pretty interesting profiles of folks who are talking about it and thinking about it. So I think that, you know, in the coming weeks and months, we'll hear some of those names. But nobody should get a free pass. And one of the implications of the gerrymandering and maps dispute before the state Supreme Court is it is possible for the first time in a very long time, all 132 state legislative seats will be up. Usually it's all 99 in the assembly, but only half of the Senate. If we have races for the assembly and Senate in every part of the state of Wisconsin, it will be paramount that all types of Democrats from all types of communities with all types of backgrounds step up and do the work to get on the ballot and to run a race. And if they do so, that makes it even more likely that Joe Biden will succeed and Tammy Baldwin.
I know the answer before I ask, but 1 year from the election, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I am deeply concerned about the future of our democracy. That has to come first. Because if I thought we were heading into an election cycle where a Republican might win who believed in democracy, who believed in the true idea of America, I mean, okay. And I've worked on those races, right? If Mitt Romney had won in 2012, our democracy would have endured. So I am deeply concerned, but I'm not panicked. I'm inspired to do the work. And I think we're going to know a lot more in a few hours about the political fortunes of Joe Biden and Democrats up and down the ballot when we see today's election results. Drown out the noise, drown out the polls, look for the signal, and the signal is election results. We can do this. We're going to get it done. So I guess, yeah, that's optimistic.
Kentucky reelect the Democratic governor, perhaps?
I think so. I think the Mississippi governor's race gets really close, and I think we prevent Virginia from becoming a trifecta state for the Republicans. If those three things happen, I will feel as optimistic tomorrow as I do right now, which is we are going to preserve our democracy. We're going to reelect good-hearted people who want the best for the American people, who will fight for workers. That's a good thing.
Maybe I'd consider putting your picture back on the wall, Joe. Thank you so much for coming down, our friend Joe Sopecki.
Thanks, Joe.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party, Wisconsin chair, is next. You're going to want to hear it all.